We gather here at Hebron for the worship of God on this Sabbath day. We bid you welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we come to worship God, we're going to sing together the Psalm 122, the beautiful psalm that speaks about the coming of the people of God to the house of the Lord, which you can't do just at this present time. And we're looking forward to the day when we're back again, back to some kind of normality. But here the psalmist speaks about the joy going to God's house. I joyed when to the house of God go up, they said to me. Jerusalem, within thy gates our feet shall standing be. Psalm 122, we invite you to sing along with this pre-recording and be blessed in your soul. Still count it a joy to come to the house of God even though the pews are empty. There must always be that skip in our step and that eagerness to come to a place like this. Will you not pray that very soon we'll be able to get back to normality, meet here in the house of God for the worship of the Lord together? Our psalm for today is the Psalm 15. We're going to read it as we approach the Lord today, come into his holy hill for prayer. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoureth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. As we come to pray today, we want to continue in prayer for the National Health Service. Very glad for the work that they're doing these days with the virus and all the work that they do, in fact. But let's pray for the doctors and nurses and all that are involved in hospital work and care work at this time. We also want to remember the Irwin family. Bert went to be with Christ yesterday morning after his battle with cancer. And you remember the day when Bert was converted to Christ, that Sunday night back in September, when he came here to the house of God and sat down just around there. And at the end of the service, he was in tears and wanted to seek Christ. We had the joy that night in pointing him to the Lord. And he had a good testimony, had an eagerness to come to the house of God. He joyed when he came to the Lord's house. And when he was fit and able, he never missed, including the prayer meeting of the church. But yesterday, the Lord saw fit to call him home, and he's now in the presence of the King. I just want to say at this stage, because I've received the word just now, that the funeral will be on Tuesday. It'll be on Tuesday at 1:15 at Bert's home, and then going to Ballee Cemetery for 2:00. It is just a very short time in the cemetery. I think we're allocated 10 minutes, that's all, in these days. If you come to the home, obviously, standing outside, the service will be relayed to you, but there'll have to be social distancing, so do keep that in mind. And then only 10 people are allowed to actually go into the cemetery. But remember Margaret and remember her family in prayer as we come to seek the Lord. Please remember the Graham family. I think most of you know by now that the Reverend Wesley Graham went to be with Christ, which is far better, last Tuesday in the early part of the afternoon. We're asking you to pray for his wife Carol and for his children Sarah, Emma, Rhonda and Timothy and their respective families. I want you to remember the Reverend Paul Sapa and Joy and the Nepali Church. Keep them in mind as they mourn the founder of the work there. Really, he was everything under God to see the work established in the land of Nepal. And remember the Bangor Church where Wesley belonged and where his family attend and where the congregation are coming to terms with the loss of their dear friend. And pray for the minister of the church that the Lord will help him in these days to continue to be that comfort and encouragement. And remember the missionary family of the Free Church. This is a colleague that our other missionaries have lost. And we do bring them to your attention that you can pray for them. We are continuing to remember the Smith family in prayer, just very simply for the comfort of Ryan and for the recovery of Hannah. And when you think of the Smith family and the tragedy, do remember the tractor driver, this young 21-year-old who is in a dark place at this time, as you can imagine. So let's bow together and seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, it's always a joy to come to the house of God. It's always a joy to be in the place where the presence of God is promised and where the presence of God has been known in a great way time and time again. And though the congregation is not physically in the building, we thank thee that God is here. And we thank thee that he's also with the members of the congregation just where they are. And Lord, we want it to be so. We pray just now in the name of the Lord Jesus that your presence will draw graciously near to the congregation sitting at home listening in and to this preacher standing here in the pulpit today to conduct this service. And remember Paul and the work that he does. We thank thee for the broadcasting and the recording of the services and what's happening in these days. We just commit it to thee. We thank thee for the grounds upon which we meet, the acceptance that we have with Almighty God. We thank thee for Jesus, his blood and his righteousness, the beauty that is upon us. Thou hast clothed us in the spotless purity of thine own dear Son in redemption and salvation. We are your children today. We bear a likeness to our God, to Christ himself. And one day that will be more apparent when we shall see him and we shall be like him. We do commend to thee those who mourn. And Lord, we do pray for especially now for the Irwin family, for Margaret and the children there of the home and the wider family circle and the church family here too that got to know and love Bert in these recent months. Thank thee for that night when he passed from darkness into light, from the deadness of sin into the life of the gospel. Thank thee, Lord, for a repenting sinner and one who laid hold by faith upon Christ. And we thank thee for the bright testimony that he had, and even in these months, that desire for thee and for your word and for prayer and for the house of God. We pray now for those that are left and remain who feel the pain of parting, that thou will comfort them at this time. We continue to uphold before thee the Graham family too. We thank thee for Wesley. Thank thee for all that he was in his own home as a husband and as a father and grandfather and as a friend there in Bangor and to so many within the presbytery and the churches here in Northern Ireland and further afield. What he was as a missionary colleague to our other missionaries. And we praise thee for what he was to the church in Nepal. Lord, we thank thee for his ministry there, for the founding of the churches, for the establishment of those churches and the presbytery, for the ordination of the pastors, for the growth of the work, for the Bible college, for the orphanage, and all aspects of the work and the ministry. And Father, now that you've taken him home, and he's gone home to be with Christ, which is far better, we pray for the family who remain, for Carol and her children and the grandchildren and the wider family circle. We pray that you will comfort them in the knowledge of where he is. We sorrow not even as others which have no hope. We thank thee that our sorrow has the knowledge of the gospel and the knowledge of where Wesley is today in the presence of the Savior. We remember too the Smith family. And Lord, you know the aching heart and the sorrowful spirit even in these days. You know Hannah's we need there down in the Royal for the touch of God to be upon her body to mend it and to raise it up to health and strength. And Father, we pray that you will hear the many petitions that are offered on behalf of this family. And remember also the tractor driver. Lord, you know that he's entered into a dark valley. Well, we pray for him today. There will be others that will come alongside to try and encourage him. Family members, friends, maybe someone that God sends. But we think of the Savior himself. We pray that the Christ of God will visit his home and that the Lord will draw near to him. You'll know his need better than we, and so we commit him into your hands. We remember that family too down there in Waringstown, another tragedy, another life so suddenly, unexpectedly taken out into eternity. And we commit the Abram family to thee, and we pray that you will bless them and bless the four children of that family and be with them in this time of tragedy and need. We pray for this service now that you will overshadow it with your divine presence. In the hymns that we listen to, the choir that will sing today, the reading of your word, the preaching of it. O Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us and do us good and lead us and direct us through the word today. And may we be blessed as a result of having this service. Bless those that are sitting at home. Bless the sick. Bless those that are struggling with illness. Bless those that are in sorrow. Remember the suffering. Oh Lord, you know them all. And we commit them into thy loving care. Hear and answer prayer, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We have the pleasure of listening to the choir just now. And the Hebron choir singing a piece in the past. Show me the cross. And as you listen to it, may the Lord show us the cross of Calvary today, and may we be thrilled in our heart in the dying work of our dear Savior.
Lord,
you have been singing along with the choir, listening intently to this song, maybe you've prayed already, Lord, make Calvary real to me. And if you haven't, shoot that prayer up now. Oh, may Calvary ever be before us every day. The great work of the cross, whereupon Jesus Christ died there for our sin. Bid you welcome again to Hebron, to this worship service as we gather in the Lord's dear name. And we thank you for tuning in, some of you by sermon audio, some by Facebook. Wherever you are, thank you for joining us and being part of this service today. I might just say at this stage that for some reason, before I came over this morning, my phone went on the blink. So my mobile phone is not working just now. I would like to get that back working as soon as possible. So if you have to contact me for any reason, ring the house phone or contact my wife. We'll be glad to receive your contact that way. Tonight in the Gospel at 7 o'clock, we're going to preach on Paul's view of life and death. How do you view your life that you live? How do you view the death that you will die? The Bible has something to say about it, and has something to say in the testimony that the great apostle bore to these things. The life and the death of the child of God. The view that Paul had in a very personal way. Been a lot of tragedy recently. We've had folks who know the Lord have been taken from us, and I believe there's a timely message tonight at 7 o'clock. We want you to be in prayer. Now, over this period of time of COVID-19, you will have seen on the internet a number of people are singing. It seems to be the thing to do. And I've been talking to some of these people, and one of them is our sister, Victoria Salt. And Victoria has sent us a piece that we're going to play tonight at the gospel service. So we look forward to that as being part of our service this evening. Tuesday night is the Youth Challenge link up at 7 o'clock on the church's Facebook page. And again, we are encouraging our church families to make sure that your children are tuned in. And also, if you know of the other children that come to the children's meetings normally on a Tuesday night, that they are aware of this. It is sent out, and we try to encourage them. We want to keep in contact with them, and this is one of the ways in which we do it as we seek to present the gospel to them. Thursday night is our missionary meeting. Once a month we have our missionary meeting, and we come to the second part of the testimony of our brother Fred Orr. So we invite you to tune in on Thursday night and listen to how the Lord called him out to the mission field. Friday night, the FPC Kids at 7 o'clock, being broadcast on the Mission Board Facebook page. And then our own youth fellowship by Zoom Friday night at 8 o'clock. It's very encouraging to see so many of our young people joining us every Friday night, tuning in for that. And I know it's been a blessing. Next Lord's Day, Sabbath School 11, Bible Class 11, and our services 12 noon and 7 o'clock. In the will of God, I'll be here to preach the word. We're here to help you as the minister, our home missioner, our office bearers, and a number of volunteers with the elderly, the vulnerable, the sick, and any in need. Please contact us if you need us. I want to say thank you in the Savior's name for sending in your tithes, your offerings, your building fund, your Let the Bible Speak contributions, and your missionary covenants. In any way that you're giving to the church, thank you. And we say that very sincerely in the Lord's name. We're living in difficult days, but the work of God goes on, and our support for the Lord's work goes on. It's very difficult maybe to read this, all that's here in the following announcement, but we have received tremendous encouragement. There's a gift for the precious orphanage in Nepal, £250, a gift for the Spanish Building Fund of £250, and gifts for the Emergency Aid Fund that we're helping in these countries where our missionaries are, of £200, $250, £800, and £250. And then I can't mention all We did mention some of these last Lord's Day and some on Thursday night, but you will see the contributions that have been given for the orphanage work, or the Indian Orphans Fund, as we're calling it here. And I think to date, in 1 week since last Sabbath morning, something like £10,000 has been given or pledged. We want to thank you very sincerely in the Lord's great name. We know that this will go a long way in the support of these orphaned children. Sincere sympathy again to Margaret Irwin and to the children of the family, Stephanie, Fiona and Adrian, and all their family members in the death of Bert. He fought a good fight and he's now with the Lord, which is far better. Pray for us on Tuesday as we take the funeral service, 1:15 at the house and 2:00 at Belee Cemetery. We mentioned to you the phone-in sermon service that we've set up. That's the number. If you know of ones that are listening to this, do remind them, as it says in the wee message that we gave to them, that they have to wait a few seconds. They may have to wait maybe 20 seconds or 30 seconds for the sermon to play when they ring this number. So we're asking for a little bit of patience, just in case they hear nothing and they set the phone down again. You just have to wait for it all to be linked up to you. We're praying for an intervention of God according to 2 Chronicles 7:13 and 14. I trust that you're much in prayer over this text in these days. We are praying for the frontline services, doctors, nurses, anaesthetists, radiographers, paramedics, hospital workers, care workers, and the police service. We are remembering the sick and the needy of the congregation, and these are the names that appear most weeks to us, and we give a little bit more time on Thursday to remembering the sick connected to the church. We're praying for the messages that go out every day, that they will continue to be a blessing. I think it was message 64 this morning that went out. So these are many messages going out to many places. We're just praying that God will be glorified and much will be made of Christ and blessing will follow. Pray for the broadcast of all the services taking place connected to Hebron, from the Bible class Sabbath school on this day to our services on the Sabbath to the Youth Challenge, the midweek, and the youth fellowship. We're praying for God's voice to be heard. We're praying for our missionaries at home and abroad. We are remembering those that are still on the field, that the good hand of God will be upon them. And we're praying for the effort that is being made by our mission board reaching the children of the province. We're praying for that which is going out every Sunday morning, the Hebron Online Sunday School. Again, we're grateful to Wesley for organizing this. He did something this morning that maybe scared the children. He brought them to school. And, I know some of the children are just dying to get back to school and they wish they were there. Others, I hear, are enjoying the long break, even though they might have some work to do. Well, thank you, Wesley, for organizing this. The children were singing this morning, and some greetings being brought from Sunday school teachers, from Marlene and from Elaine as well. The memory verse, our great text in the church hall from Jeremiah 33 and 3, being taught to the children by Hugh, and then the speaker of Sunday school this morning, Irwin. So thank you for all who participated and took part. The ongoing ministry on Tuesday night continues. Thank you, Andrew. And we showed these slides on Thursday night of what had taken place just last Tuesday. These are the ones that were speaking to the children. We want to thank our workers for their contribution that they're making on a weekly basis, sharing the Word of God, teaching it to them, whether it's through the quiz or the memory verse or the Bible story. And then we have children who have participated, and they have sent their contributions in as they have recited the Word of God. And again, that was a great blessing to hear our children last Tuesday night as they brought to us the Psalm 46 and verse 10. A very appropriate psalm in these days. Two of the wee girls on the slides here are from Scotland. Some of you have met them. They've attended the church here when they're over in the province, and they were at our Sunday school camp last year. So thank you sincerely. Thank you to the young people. Samuel has been keeping it together on a Friday night, and he's also been a great encouragement to the young people in so many ways, and they have been doing their recitations as well and putting out the Word of God on these videos. And I think many of you have seen them. Some of you perhaps have not. You need access to the internet, of course, to get that, or the WhatsApp group. Thank you to the young people who brought our attention to Romans chapter 8 and those beautiful verses and very appropriate verses in these days when we're in lockdown, because it reminds us that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's a great encouragement, isn't it, when we're shut away and locked in so many ways these days. Pray for the video cast that go out every day, and also for Joshua. He's doing the same down there in Bangor. We have a story behind the feeding of the orphans that we mentioned on Thursday night. Very, very grateful how this all came together in the providence of God, and for the support that we have received for these children. And the pastors sent some of these pictures of the children who will be fed now. This project, because it was linked to the book that is being produced off the video cast, would not have happened until later on this year, maybe towards Christmas time. But because these gifts have come through, mechanisms have now been sent up that these children can receive support almost immediately. So that will be happening this week or the beginning of June. I want you to pray for it. We've been also able to help a Christian hospital in India. They have received some help from the mission board. In these days, their funds are greatly reduced, but they are caring for patients in a most remote area of India. And it is a Christian organization that's been there for a long time. And we just ask you to remember the hospital. You don't need to know the name of it, but just pray that God will do a work in it as the patients are brought. One section of the hospital, the training center, has been turned into a COVID treatment center as well to treat those who have the virus. We've had food distribution in Pakistan in a remote area of the country. We're thankful to the lady who has been getting this out and sharing the Word of God at the same time with these poor people, opening up the Word of God to them. Thank you to the two men who were giving a second coat to the church floor. And that happened yesterday morning. And so you see the church hall looking exceedingly well at this time. These are all the announcements. We're going to hear the hymn 366 sung to us now. I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, where springs of living water did abound. 366.
Let's stand to sing.
We're turning in the Word of God to 2 Chronicles and the chapter 14 for our Bible reading. 2 Chronicles 14, and we're reading from verse 1 through to verse 7, verse 7 being our text for today. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. But he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and brake down the images and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. And he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities, and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. We're going to preach today on Asa the building king, and we're taking for our text the 7th verse that we've just read. But before we do that, we're going to pray, look to the Lord for his grace and his anointing. Father, we thank thee for all that has gone before, and even these few slides that we've looked at, reminding us of the great ministry that you've given to the Hebron Church among our children and young people. We thank thee for every one of them, and Lord, we do pray for them in these days when they can't come to the house of God, for all of our church, in fact, but we have a heart just now for the children that are separated and the young people who cannot attend. Oh, Father, we do pray that thou will protect them and that thou will keep them. Keep them going on with the Lord and bless our people at this time. Oh, we pray that all ages will know the help of God now as we turn to your word. We pray that thou will speak to our hearts and minister to our souls in these difficult days. And pour your spirit upon this preacher and help him, Lord, to preach the word of the living God for Jesus' sake. Amen. Asa was the third king of Judah, or the sixth king since the time of Saul. The Lord had never intended a king to reign over his people. The government of Israel had originally been theocratic. That means that God ruled over the nation. He gave his messages directly to those servants whom he had raised up and anointed, the prophets, the seers, and the judges. But the people rejected the sovereignty of the Almighty and refused to be governed by the King of Glory. They looked at Samuel, who under God was their present judge, and they saw a poor old prophet in a mantle, and he looked pathetic to those who judged by the outward appearance. And then they thought about the kings of the other countries, dressed in their purple robes with their guards and officers around them. And how splendid it would be if only we could have such a king, is what the people thought. And therefore they came to Samuel and they said, make us a king to judge us like all the nations. The old prophet was shocked and dismayed and troubled in heart at this request. What did he do? He did the right thing. He prayed, turned to the Lord for wisdom and direction. And God gave Samuel a message for the people, which revealed the consequences of rejecting God as the king and what would happen if they rejected him and replaced him with a mere mortal upon the throne. If they chose an earthly king, he would be a man of war, a man of oppression, and a man of taxation. The Israelites were warned that they would cry out in such a day when God was rejected as the sovereign ruler and man ruled. Nevertheless, the people arrogantly demanded, "We will have a king over us." Didn't matter what God or Samuel said, the people were obstinate, "We will have a king." The Lord permitted them to appoint a man to the throne, but his words of prophecy were fulfilled. The kings became men of war and bloodshed. They became oppressors of the people. Some rulers were good, of course, like David, a man after God's own heart, and others were evil, like Rehoboam, under whose reign the kingdom was divided. The third king of Judah, the sixth since Saul, was this man, Asa, and what tremendous things are recorded about him. We have in verse 2 the testimony that he bore. Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. We have in the next verse the reforms that he made. He took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and broke down the images and cut down the groves. And we have in verse 4 his leadership. He commanded Judah to seek God, the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandments. So here's a man who gave tremendous leadership as the king, brought the people to prayer, brought the people to God's word. As a result, in the end part of verse 5, we read that the kingdom was quiet before him. For 10 years, peace and tranquility rested upon the nation. There were no wars during that time. God had so ordained this blessing in the kingdom and provided for the people to press forward, make advancements, build cities, and enjoy prosperity without the threat of invasion or the reality of fighting wars. The nation commenced and continued building fenced cities. This history of the nation of Israel during the reign of godly King Asa is appropriate for the Church of Jesus Christ today as we seek to build for God in the modern time. We are building for him. And if we're not building physical buildings, and we built this church 14, 15 years ago, and it was open to the glory of God, but if we're not engaged in the actual physical side of building, let's remember there is a more important building work to be engaged in. We are to build for God. We are to go forward as a church where possible. There's always room for expansion and growth and improvement and development in the work and service of God. Every healthy congregation should ever be seeking to enlarge its borders, to possess a vision for God, a desire for the growth of Christ's kingdom, for souls to be added unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the building work I want you to think about today in particular, though there's other aspects that we will mention. So we're going to think about Asa, the building king, and the necessity for you and I to be building for God in our day. You'll notice in this text, verse 7, that there is the project to embark upon. Therefore, he, that is Asa, said unto Judah, "Let us build these cities." Asa wanted his people to go with him and to build the fenced cities. He wanted his subjects to rise up and build while they had the opportunity. There is determination expressed in his voice. I think I hear it there. Let us build these cities. Don't let anything hinder us. Don't let anything stop us. We have the equipment at hand. Let us push forward and do what God expects us to do. There's not only determination, but there is a desire for unity in his exhortation. For he says, let us build. This is something that they've got to do together. They must accomplish it together. I'm not going to be able to do this mammoth task on my own. I need your help. I need your strength. I need your cooperation. I need your willingness. Let us get behind one another and be united in this endeavor. and together we shall achieve the job that is before us. I think that's what Asa is saying here as he appeals to the people for unity. And then there's also a note of enthusiasm in his voice, isn't there? Come on now, let us put our hands to the work and enjoy our labours. We shall build these cities with an enthusiastic spirit. Now, when we think of the building of God's work, there is, as we have mentioned, the physical side. There is the erection of the physical buildings in which we worship. And this building was built not that long ago. It's still looking beautiful and still looking rather new, even to this day. 14, 15 years ago, it was built for the Lord's work and for the worship of God and for all the services that would be held in it, together with the other parts of the building, the Sunday school rooms that we have there. And then beyond that, we have our complex, the church hall, the other Sunday school classes, the Bible classroom, and beyond that again, our school. This is the physical side, and very often the Church of Christ is engaged in such. And not only here in Northern Ireland, but as we seek to help with building work abroad. But there's also a numerical side in this building work, and that is the gathering of the people into the pews. It's not happening today. You know that. I look down and, well, I don't see one person in the building, and that grieves me. But I'm getting over that. I know you're there. I know you're listening in as you sit at home. But there is this numerical gathering in of the people, and we're still praying that the day will come when all these pews will be filled, when family members and friends and people from the neighborhood will come in to the house of God. Believe that God is doing a work today. Believe that he's speaking to our community. We know that many are listening in to the service that don't normally attend, and they're listening in to the daily broadcast that don't normally attend this place, and we trust that when we are out of the lockdown situation and we're able to start coming back to the house of God, that the Lord will, in this numerical sense, build his church and gather in the people for the hearing of the word. And we want to see that spilling over into the Sunday school work and into the youth work and into the children's work on a Tuesday night and every other aspect of the work of God in this house, that numerical side. God has given us promises that we still cling on to this very day. There's a promise that the Lord gave to me a number of years ago, and I have it printed out and put into a little frame, and it still sits in my study there. I'm able to look at it from time to time when I'm sitting in my office. And there's that promise in the Psalm 115 and verse 14. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. And that was a numerical blessing that God was promising here to give in this particular psalm. We think of the words in Isaiah chapter 54 and verses 2 and 3, this exhortation that is given: enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cord, strengthen thy stakes, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. And thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. And again, this is to do with numerical increase and numerical blessing. We have thought about the school of the prophets in the time of Elisha, back there in 2 Kings and in the chapter 6 in the opening two verses. The sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. To this end, Jabez prayed. Just that one little mention of Jabez in the Bible. He's not what you would call one of the famous heroes of God's word or church history, but he does stand out in the pages of Scripture as a man of prayer, and there's quite a lengthy verse there that deals with his prayer. And his prayer began, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." And he goes on then to pray for the enlarging, "And enlarge my coast." And that's a prayer that we ought to be offering to God in these days, the numerical side to the building. And then there is the spiritual side to this building, and that's the most important aspect. The real building is the building of the church of Jesus Christ, seeing members added to the body of the Lord. And Jesus has promised, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it," and the gates of hell may be seeking to prevail against it in these days. The devil's trying to hamper the work of God and the building of the church and the gathering in of sinners to Christ, undoubtedly, with the virus that is spreading through the nations of the world. But I tell you, my friend, God is doing a work, and maybe a greater work for all we know in these days. And souls are being added to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're hearing continually about men coming to the Lord. I just heard yesterday, I think it was. If it wasn't yesterday, it was Friday. Our brother Eric Graham sent me a little text to say that there was a young person from their church, and they were asked to give their testimony to the youth fellowship. So they were to record their testimony. And just before she did that, she thought, "Well, I'll try this on my friend just to see how it goes." And so she rang her friend and gave her testimony to her friend. Do you know what happened? Her friend came to trust in Christ as her Savior. What did her friend do? With the knowledge of the gospel and a new convert now, she went and visited her grandparents, and she shared the message of the gospel with them. And her grandparents came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Young people, you could be involved maybe in a work like this, giving your testimony to your friend, winning them to Christ. And you don't know where that will end and how many others will come to know the Savior as a result. But my dear friends, we are building in a spiritual sense. Why do we see the physical building enlarged here? Why do we see the numerical increase? So that the spiritual side will grow, the adding to the church, such as should be saved. We long for souls to come to Christ. Our heart's desire, our prayer unto God for the people of this town is that they might be saved. We are involved in the greatest building project that any mortal can ever be engaged in, and that is Christ's church and Christ's kingdom. What a privilege. We're not building a name. In a few short years, David Park will be no more. And he will be almost forgotten. In a few short years, it'll be the same for all of us, for all of you, for every elder, every deacon, every member, every worker in the house of the Lord here. But my friends, the work will go on, and the church will be built, and souls will be added. And we want to see what we read about in Acts chapter 5. Believers were the more added to the Lord. That is our greatest ambition in the building work. And so there is the project to embark upon. And so I would say to you, as Asa said to his people, let us build. Let us build for God. Let us build for the future. Let us build for eternity. Let us build Christ for Christ's great glory. There's a work for you. Not just for this preacher or the workers in this church. There's a work for you in the building work. And so we need determination. And we need unity. And we need enthusiasm. Let us build. But then secondly, there is the protection to erect. Look again at verse 7, our text. Let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars. These measures were taken for defensive and security reasons. They were to defend and secure the cities. This was a peacetime in the land. But they must not be complacent. They must prepare for war. They must put up the defenses. They must get ready for days of trouble. And so they fortified the major cities. As children of God, we need to be erecting our walls and towers and gates and bars. It's essential that we put up our defensive mechanisms and prepare ourselves against the enemy. And the enemy will come, and there'll be many fiery darts of the wicked one that will be cast, and there will be many poisonous arrows that will be shot. And we have many enemies in this world. You have the world. Don't you think, dear child of God, and I maybe should address my remarks particularly to our young people, don't you think the world is your friend? The world is going to take you down, and the world is going to destroy your life if it possibly can. This world is not our friend to take us on to God. This world is our enemy. And then we have the flesh, not only the world that is without us, but we have the flesh that is within us. And that flesh rises up every day as our enemy to destroy us. We need to know that. And then the great enemy behind it all is the devil himself, and he is at work. We need to put up the walls of defense in order to stand against the onslaughts of every foe. These walls will have a good foundation in the Lord Jesus Christ, and will be built upon faith and love and hope. And if God be for us, who or what can be against us? The walls will serve a twofold purpose. They will keep the enemy out, and they will keep us in. When we begin to build for God, we shall want to prevent the enemy from entering in. Want to keep the devil out. Want to keep the world out. Want to keep the flesh out. Let us therefore build a wall around our lives, and build a wall around our families, and build a wall around our church. We need to be engaged in this building work. God has given to us the blood of Christ for protection. It's a great defense. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. A reference to the disciples who overcame the enemy of their soul, the devil, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Learn to plead the blood upon your life and upon your home. And the book is given for protection, not just the blood, but the book. And that's the Bible, the precious two-edged sword, is a mighty weapon that God has given to us for our defense. What mighty power is invested in this book. Saturate yourself in the book of God, dear child of God. Make sure you're in the scriptures every day, because God has given it to you as a wall of defense. May you know how to wield it. May you know how to use it. And you study the latter verses of Ephesians chapter 6, where we have the armor of God, and we need that armor upon us. And right there is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. What a mighty weapon it is, and God has given it to us as a wall of protection. We have the blood, we have the book, and praise God, we have the blessed hope for protection. Keep your eye on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming again. Live in the light of his coming. Do you know how you ought to live? As if it was getting up every morning, going to the door of your home, looking out and breathing in the air of that day, and just wondering to yourself, is this the day when my Lord will come? I'm not saying he's going to come today, but you've got to think that way. Is this the day when Jesus Christ shall descend from glory? And if it is, I've got to be living for him the way that I should, that I want to be accepted by him when he comes. You live in the light of that day. You look for that day. My dear friends, you long for that day. And you lift up your heads, for redemption draweth nigh. Jesus is coming again. And then we need to build a tower for the lookout post. Be aware and be conscious that the enemy will soon appear over the horizon. There was never a building work done for God, whether it was in the physical sense, the numerical sense, or the spiritual sense, but the enemy has attempted to come in like a flood. Always happens. If you read the book of Nehemiah, you'll see that to be so. He set about rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem that had been broken down. And oh, what awful opposition he received. Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem. They laughed, they scorned, they despised, they mocked. They treated the Jews with contempt. And this is what we read in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 4. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Now opposition continued with bitterness, but God gave the victory, and the joy of the Lord became their strength. And then I want you to notice also in our text that there is the precept to emphasize. We come back to verse 7 of 2 Chronicles 14. Let us build these cities, make about them walls, towers, gates, bars. And here's the precept. While the land is yet before us. And this is speaking about opportunity. The land was before them. While we have the opportunity and the time, we ought to be building for the Lord, taking ground for His glory. While there are still men to be reached and souls to be saved, and the land is before us, we should be up and doing. While the souls of men are dying, and the Master calls for thee, the land is before you. We may be restricted in many areas of God's work today, but I've told you, do not let that hamper you in this building work. My dear friends, we live in a town that needs the gospel, where there are thousands of souls that need Christ. And there's a work for you to do just where you are, with your family, with your neighbors who are not saved. Don't you miss it. And there's a work to do in Ulster, and there's a work to do in the south of Ireland, and there's a work to do across the Irish Sea and on into Europe, and a work to do in the further fields of this earth. Let us fulfill the Great Commission. Jesus wants us to have a vision for His work. And we have given a lot of emphasis to that already in the earlier part of this year. This is the year of vision, remember that. This is the year when God wants us to lift up our eyes and look in the fields. It's 2020. And 2020 is good vision, and you want to have good vision for the Lord's work. As we cross the sea of this world, we are commanded to launch out into the deep and to let down your nets for the draught. Maybe up until now you've just been paddling about in the shallows. But now it's time to launch out into the deep, whatever that means for you. We must catch a multitude of fish for the Savior. We must draw in the nets of the gospel. Oh, my friends, multitudes are lost, and they are dying, and they are perishing without hope. They're going out into the darkness of despair forevermore. We need to have a vision for the Lord. There is a land to be possessed. Let us take it and possess it and build while the land is yet before us. Let us lift up our eyes and see the throng of lost souls tramping on the broad road that leads to eternity. Here's a precept to emphasize. While the land is yet before us. And then there is a prayer to engage in. We have sought the Lord our God, he says. Asa saw to it that his citizens were a praying people. He called them to prayer. He got them before the Lord to pray. And my friends, building for God must originate from our knees. Knees that know how to bend themselves in the attitude of prayer. A prayerful church is a powerful church. And a church that doesn't pray will never do anything for God. But if you pray, I tell you this, no weapon that is formed against thee will prosper. A people who do know how to go forward on their knees is a people that are building on their feet. The book of Acts tells us about a praying church. And my friends, God bless that praying church in the early New Testament times. And we need God's people to pray in these days. And even though we can't come to the house of God for prayer, you make sure you're engaged in prayer at home and crying to God for this building work, for protection, for wisdom, for help and for guidance in these days. And then there is a peace to experience also here in our text. He hath given us rest on every side. God gave them this wonderful blessing. Asa takes note of this rest. He sees it as a gift from God. Note the words, he hath given. God has given. God has gifted. When God is pleased to give rest, we must acknowledge with thankfulness his goodness. Rest of mind. Rest in the family. Rest in the church. Rest in the country. It's easier to get on with the job of building when things are peaceful and at rest. It's not easy to go forward where there's strife and conflict and opposition and persecution. You know what happens in those days? You're so taken up with the problems and the strifes and the conflicts that you can't get on with the building work. When we are under attack, we have to leave the building program to the one side until the disruption is quelled down. We take a defensive position. We hold our ground that has already been taken. But whenever God gives his people rest on every side for a season, we must take advantage of such blessing like Asa and build for God. It was difficult for the early church of the New Testament to advance in their building work during intense persecution. But when God brought a time of peace, the church grew. And this is what we read in Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. When did that great multiplication take place? When the church is at rest. When the storms of persecution had quailed. Matthew Henry said, when the sword is sheathed, take up the trowel. And my friends, we were not out there fighting those battles, and we are so consumed and so much time is taken up with the battles. When that's not happening, and God has given us rest on every side, what do? You take up the trowel and you build for God. And there's one final thought here in verse 7, and that is the prosperity to enjoy. The last little part of our text has this recorded. So they built and prospered. It's a lovely conclusion, isn't it? When God observes a resolute determination to go forward and build for him and possess the land, when the people put up the defensives against the enemy, when God sees the people on bended knee in fervent prayer, then he will prosper. His hand of goodness and blessing will be upon the project of building. And that ought to be our constant prayer, that the Lord would prosper us and enlarge our coasts. That day by day, he will add to the church such as should be saved. The blessing will attend the preaching of the word. There's room for expansion. There's room for growth. May God make us like Asa and his people in these days. And may we build together for his glory. Project to embark upon, the protection to erect, the precept to emphasize, the prayer to engage in, the peace to experience, and the prosperity to enjoy. It's all here in this lovely text. May we know something of it, brethren and sisters, in these days. And even though we're not here at church today, may we go forward and build for the glory of God, build the kingdom of Christ, build his church, and see many added unto Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank thee for your word. Thank thee for the opportunity in these days, despite coronavirus, to go forward with the Lord and to build for thee. We pray that we will continue to go forward on our knees, and that we will use every opportunity given to us by God to speak a word for Christ and to see many won for the Savior. Build your church as you promised to do, and help us, Lord, to be much involved in this work and this ministry that you've given to us. And separate us now with your blessing, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you once again for joining us here at Hebron. Trust the word of God has been a help and encouragement to you. Go and build. Do a work for God this day and in this week, for Christ's sake. Amen.